Welcome to the Bible study, everybody on the internet. Like to thank everybody for tuning in or clicking on or whatever you did. Barry's not here this evening. My name is Terry Pete. I'll be filling in tonight, and my prayers go out to everybody that has needs and the economy with the way it is, and everybody is kind of in, you know, an uneasy situation, and for anybody that is suffering or pains, and we want to pray for Mac and just anybody out there that I don't know.
Pray for Barry.
Pray for Barry.
Pray for Mom.
Pray for my nephew. He's going to Afghanistan. Going in the middle of it, and he loves it. So that's dangerous. He's a Marine. But my prayers and sincerely go out to everybody, especially believers and the loved ones what we have and that we're dear to. And also, those that are believers should pray for the lost, George.
Yeah, a couple prayer requests of my own, one for Jan and one for me, personal. Appreciate Ernest's prayer for him.
Absolutely. We'll do that. We all need prayer. And I haven't figured nothing out. I mean, I haven't really. I mean, everything I know was given to me. Somebody showed me. Oh, am I on now? You did something. Something changed. I might be deaf, but I can hear a little bit. I want to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I praise God for Barry's admonition to all the men that stand behind the pulpit and to get in and study and consider the things, and then not just do it because it's time to teach. It's your turns up, you know. But you don't have to preach a complicated doctrine. This is real simple. You know, we'll leave the complicated doctrines to the scholars and to the people that went to school for it. You know. Now, the only school I've ever been to is the school of Hard Knocks. But in 1 Corinthians 1, and I want to start in verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the household, house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that..." Now, he's talking about water right now. We are talking about water. This is not laying on a hand, spirit baptism, or nothing like that. This is water. I just want to make that clear. Now, this I say, that every one of you... And when I mean laying on a hands, I mean laying on a hands and they receive the Holy Spirit. This is not that baptism. It is performed by hands, but it's dipping in water somehow. Now, this I say... saith, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Was Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. Now, I don't really want to talk about baptism in the topic of what I'm talking about tonight. But the reason I read that is because of the divisions. This one says, "Well, I was baptized of Paul." Another one says, I was baptized of Jesus. Another one says, well, I was baptized of John. Another one says, well, I was baptized of Peter or Cephas. Same guy. But so, and there's these divisions among them. I'm of Paul. I'm of this group. I'm of that group. Go back to verse 10. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, if you've got somebody who says he's of Cephas and another one that says he's of Paul, are there going to be divisions among them? Absolutely. Why? Why? Yeah, but why? Always ask the question, why? Why? He said, well, don't question God. God said question Him. Not in doubt, believing. Question, why is it that way, Lord? Why are they divided? They're divided because of there's two groups coming together of two different judgments. One's of one judgment, and one's of another judgment. But it could have been that one was in this judgment, and I don't want to get too complicated on this, but there could have been one that was in one judgment, heard the gospel of Christ, and came into another judgment, but was still clinging on to an old doctrine. But Paul said, be perfectly joined together in one mind. Look what he says. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. When did Peter believe his judgment was? Huh? Speak up. Second coming. When did Paul believe his judgment was? Huh? No. I'm. Oh, amen. Amen. Our sins were judged. Amen. Our sins were judged. But that's not when he says the same mind, the same judgment. I don't really think that's what he's talking about. Although that you could apply that. I wouldn't be against that. But I think what he's really talking about, the same judgment, is when we put off this flesh and we stand before the Lord. Every man, Paul said, every man should give an account. It doesn't matter. Everybody gets to stand and give an account. Judgment. I don't care if it's the judgment seat of Christ, if it's the great white throne, if it's the sheep and the goats, if it's the second coming, the judgment of Israel, if it's the judgment of the earth and the tribulation, everyone's got a judgment. See what I'm saying? So, and of course, there's the judgment of sin on Christ at the cross. That's definitely a judgment. There were some judgments in the Old Testament with the judges. And then under the law, there were judgments. There was a judgment with Adam when he sinned. What was the judgment? Death. You got to die now. And judgment of separation. You can't fellowship with me anymore. Judgment. You have to offer a blood sacrifice. Judgments. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Hannah, stop. Now, I don't want to have to stop again to tell you to stop. Do you understand? Now, he that planteth and he watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another build thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Now, I believe that that is 2 Corinthians 5. That's a judgment. We all stand and judge and receive for bad work or for a good work that we've done, and there's no respecter of persons. Amen? We all get to stand. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 7. Faith cometh by... But faith comes by... And hearing by the... Okay. So... And it says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Amen? Okay? Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith cometh by hearing what? The Word of truth in particular for us, right? For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent. So I'm not looking... Faith is telling me that I'm not looking at what I see in front of me. I'm looking at what God said. And I'm not looking at what people say God said. I'm looking at what God said. And if what somebody says lines up with what God said, then I'm good with that. But if it goes against what God says, then I'm against that. Amen? That makes sense. I like that. It makes sense. I like things that make sense. They don't make sense. It's confusing. Huh? We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. And that has to do with your reward. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. So, the judgment seat of Christ. Knowing therefore, you have to think about that now. That's knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. That's a judgment. Which judgment is that? Go to Romans. Romans chapter 2. Back up to chapter 1 at the end, verse 32. Romans 1:32. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Who, knowing the judgment of God, there's judgment. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, to change your mind about something. But after that, after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious, do not obey the truth, but obey in righteousness the indignation and wrath. Now, there's two judgments there. There's one judgment that's forbearance, long-suffering, the goodness of God. It's like being delivered from that judgment. What judgment is he talking about? He says, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The day of wrath? How about 7-year tribulation day of wrath? How about then the second coming of Christ or the great white throne judgment? But it certainly is not, and I think it's the latter. I think it's the great white throne judgment. But it certainly is not the judgment seat of Christ. Would you agree with that? Now, there's some people in there in 1 Corinthians, where we were at, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that y'all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, I've just read 3 or 4 different judgments. And there's groups of people that are not persuaded on what judgment, that they're all thinking they're the same, but when they start hashing it out, they're not lining up. The times aren't lining up. The what's going to be judged isn't lining up. It's not, they're not speaking the same thing. And there's divisions. One says, well, that's not what Paul said. He said, well, Jesus told me. So, well, I learned from Cephas himself. Well, I got it from John the Baptist. Big whoop. Whose doctrine supersedes all of these? Paul. What is Paul's foundation of his doctrine do? And it causes what? Well, it could cause division, but it also causes unity. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. 4. Well, let me just read it. Verse 1. Ephesians 4, 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body. Here we go. The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body. Two bodies? One body. Is it Jewish and Gentile?
Yes.
No. No, it's not. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. You're one. Now I know what you're saying. Yeah, there's Jew and Gentiles in this group. But once they're in, they're not recognized as Jew and Gentile no more. You're one. See what I'm saying? Okay. With all lowliness of mind, meekness, that will bring what? Unity. You say, well, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Paul. Well, I'm a Jew and I'm a Gentile. Well, I was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Abraham, Paul said. A Hebrew of Hebrews. What did Paul count that? Dung. See? It's not even, it's a non-issue once you're in the body. There's one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and here we go, one baptism. Back to that baptism thing again that was causing all this division. One baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So, come down to verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, Peter preached a different gospel than Paul. But once they understood that they had different ministries, and you'll find that understanding in Galatians chapter 2. Once Peter and Paul, James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to Paul, they gave to him and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that they should go to the heathen and they to the circumcision. And that's the way it was after that. And there was no more division between them. They perfectly understood the message that was given to Paul and the message that was given to Peter and who they were to go to and with what message that was. And the judgment that they were, they perceived that the judgment was also different. How do I know that? Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Before I go to Hebrews chapter, go ahead and go to Hebrews chapter 6, but I want to read something back out of 1 Corinthians real quick. Just to bring something to thought when we read Hebrews 6. First Corinthians 3:15, and if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. If the work is burned, will the believer suffer loss? If it's burned, he'll suffer loss. Okay? That's what it said. But he himself shall be saved. Even if it's a bad work, right? Even if he's a whoremonger? Vile conscience? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He said, how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now, there are degrees of that. You know, it can get pretty bad, but it's not going to change what you are in Christ. That can't even be tarnished. And that's what the religious system of this world has got all messed up. You can't change what you are in Christ. You are a new creature. It can't be tarnished. That's what we have a hard time seeing. You think, wow, you know, we're really polishing it up, you know, getting at them together. We got it going on. Oh, because I restrained myself. Don't hold your breath. Your turn's coming up. You know, if you're not worried about the flesh, you know, your chances of obeying it are less. Just reckon it to be dead. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. That's the idea. And Paul's not going around sin snuffing. He's trying to cause unity with doctrine laid on foundations. Like Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's a foundation. Another foundation, Christ died for sinners, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Another foundation, Christ died for those outside of the covenants of promise. That's another foundation. in the last foundation. And no foundation can any man lay that is in Christ Jesus. And Paul being the wise master builder, you know, he said he was the wise master builder, no one else. He was. That's a bold statement to make. I'm thinking, I'm reading that thing, and I'm like, wow, you know, he didn't say Cephas was a wise master builder. He didn't say John. They seem to be pillars. Who seem to be pillars. What do pillars go on? Foundations. Come on. We're talking about buildings here. Building something up, a strong house. Paul's foundations were unifying a body. So where he says, yet he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, thinking about judgment. Hebrews chapter 6, and we're talking about judgment. We're talking about doctrine. And we've been talking about unity and faith. So look what he says in Hebrews 6, chapter 1, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying... There comes baptisms up again. It's kind of funny how this thing keeps... You notice how the same four things keep coming up? Faith, judgment, baptism, and doctrine. Every time we deal with this subject to judgment, those four things come up. Isn't that odd? I just thought that was kind of neat. Of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God. I mean, these guys got it going on, man. They have fired up. They're fired up for Jesus, right? And have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified in themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Verse 8, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Paul said the fire is going to save you. Hebrews says the fire is going to destroy you. And they are both eternal judgment. Now understand, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, whatever reward you have, you will have for eternity. And man, I'm in the group, bigger, big time. I know me, this is me, man. I'm, you know, it ain't fun standing up behind this pulpit. I ain't got no bragging rights. I don't know nothing. I'm just saying what it says. And they're different. They're different judgments. One's saying, I can stand and my works be burned, and I'm going to be burned too. And I ain't going to make it out. How do I know that? Hebrews chapter 10. Back in 10 again. Back in Hebrews again. Hebrews 10. Verse 26, Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, that all men be saved, Paul said, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. The will of God, salvation, coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's what Paul said, right? Hang on there for a minute. I just thought of something. 2 Timothy 2. Hang on to Hebrews 10. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 11, 2 Timothy 2:11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Amen? That's what it said. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Now that statement cannot be changed. How do I know? Sealed unto the day of redemption. There ain't nowhere in the Bible outside of Paul's letters where you can find that kind of language. Absolute, 100%, once you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're sealed. Ephesians 1:13 for a reference. There are others. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Sounds like a position in glory. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Deny us what? Our reign, not our life. Okay? If we believe not. Now, this is after you're saved. If you say, that's it, I'm through with these crazy Christian people. You can believe whatever you want. You can study your Bible, do whatever you want. I'm done. Okay? I've had it. That person got sealed the day he trusted Christ. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, that's a godly thing to do. That's not. That's not the will of God that you do that. But he says that's what he's dealing with here. He says, if we believe not. Do you believe Paul was a believer? Amen. I believe Paul was a believer. Yeah. Wrote 13 letters. Over half the New Testament. Yeah. If we believe not. Yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He cannot deny you because you are in him. And you are a part of his body. He can't deny himself. He says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. It's like, stop! That's not the way it is. You're not going to receive reward. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Nothing's going to happen to me. I can do just whatever I want. That's what we say about grace, right? I can go out, I can shoot my grandma. I haven't looked at this camera yet. I could shoot my grandma, right? I don't know why they say shoot your grandma. You could kick your dog, or Brother Moore used to say kick the cat. Charging them before the Lord that is strive about a words to no profit, the subverting of the hearers. Verse 15. Still in 2 Timothy 2. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Isn't it kind of funny that after having said all that, the judgment of God, and that he says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? Why? Different judgments. He said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, the same mind, the same judgment, that you all speak the same thing. Your judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. Go to, I wasn't going to go to this verse, but it's I think it's a fitting verse in Romans chapter 11. Verse 26, one we read a lot, you know. Romans 11:26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. They're enemies. Why would they be my enemy? Wrong gospel, and guess what else? Wrong judgment. This is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Well, my sins are forgiven now. I'm not waiting for my sins to be forgiven. I'm not confessing my sins to get them forgiven. I'm forgiven now. I'm not waiting. Well, that would make somebody who believed that my enemy. He says, for the gospel, he says, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. Now, was Paul like persecuting these guys? No. But concerning the gospel, they're enemies concerning. This gospel is would be a damning gospel to me. Even though it has no effect on me, it could sure warp my mind and has warped the minds of many preachers. Most. I would say that's accurate. I grew up in one. So, Hebrews 10. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Any more sacrifice for sins? We can agree with that, right? Okay. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Died without mercy. Now, you look at the example that he's using. Died without mercy. Hang on here and go to... I used to love when Brother Moore used to do this. The way he said it, mercy! I don't know if any of y'all ever heard Brother Moore preach. He really would sink the words into your head. He'd make you see it. In 1 Timothy 1 Timothy 15. This is a faithful saying. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. How much longsuffering? All longsuffering. All longsuffering. Now, I don't care what some nut job says on TV about God judging America, or some evangelist somewhere rattling his head off about God's judging this and God's judging that. God is all long-suffering. So what would happen to a man, what has happened to a man that would stand up and tell me that God is judging certain people for doing certain things? Well, he'd have to be in a different judgment. He's not speaking the same thing. And I say nut job because, I mean, this is not something that's been hid. Although people are blind to it, it's been wrote down. And men have been preaching this thing for almost 1,970 years, give or take. A long, long time. So when I say nut job or nuts or crazy or you done gone wacko, the reason I say that is because isn't that an incredible long amount of time for something to be declared? And then men just to
Go off and do what it... So they can get that. So they can get that. Build big churches. Man. And I know the money's tempting. Hey, I'm susceptible to temptations of money and all that stuff. Paul said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, with all longsuffering. For the time shall come, will they not endure sound doctrine. They heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Not your ears itching, but you don't just, oh man, that's just uncomfortable. I'm just uneasy about that. I just don't know. That's not the way I was raised. Who cares about the way you were raised? If that's not the way you were raised, then you were raised wrong. Back to Hebrews chapter 10. But my verse, what I was talking about was mercy. See that? Mercy. But I obtain mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all... It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Might show forth all long-suffering. All long-suffering. When I sang that verse, I was like, wow. All long-suffering. No matter what I did. Then I knew no matter what I did, it said in my mind, even though I was lost, it said in my mind, you know what? No matter what I've done, God died for all that. Jesus Christ died on that cross for all the bad things that I've done. No matter what it was. That was great. Of course, I was stubborn and I didn't go through life. I went through most of my life not believing it. Even though I knew it. I mean, I believed it, but I never trusted what he had done. But he says in... Hebrews 10, verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but of a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And here it is, of how much sorer punishment. What could be sorer than without mercy? That's got to be bad. I wouldn't say that's all long-suffering, would you? You on the internet, would you say that's the same thing? The same mind and the same judgment? No way! How could you say that? I believe the whole Bible. That just makes me want to throw up when people say that. I disbelieve the whole Bible. I just... Praise God, hallelujah. That's dumb. So, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two, three witness. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye that he should be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot. Now look the way he's looking at this thing. Trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. Hey, come on, did the blood of Jesus Christ sanctify you? Well, this guy could lose it. An unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but call to remembrance the former days, which after you were illuminated, ye endured such great affliction. So, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. That's judgment. And that's a you can say whatever you want about the judgment, but it's a different judgment. It's at a different time. It's judging different things, and it's a different measure. In other words, they could do certain things and be judged to eternal damnation, while Paul says clearly that we who are sealed by the Holy Spirit are saved unto the day of redemption. Sealed and saved unto the day of redemption. Can not be separated. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I mean, this thing goes on and on and on. It is. I mean, I could spend 2 hours up here going over this. Romans chapter 8. No separation. I'm just going to come down in verse 31 for time's sake, because there were some other verses I wanted to do. But what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all? Freely? Conditional? Freely give us all things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of... Now, it's righteousness, holiness, justification, no condemnation, on and on and on. Now, what's beyond that? Reward. What would be less than that? Loss of reward. Would it still make, would it make me unrighteous? Would it make me unholy? Would it make me blamable? No. Can't. That creature can't be changed. Now, does that make me want to go out and do whatever I, you know what, please? God forbid. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Knowing the terror of the Lord. I think about that, man. I know the day's drawing near, and it's an awesome thought to think that I'm going to stand before the Creator of heaven and earth. Stand before... I mean, it's an awesome thing to be stand before the president. Wouldn't that be? I'd be like, whoa, cool! Or some rock star or something, you know, some famous celebrity. And to think of standing before the Creator... I mean, just put it in perspective a little bit, you know. Standing before the Creator of heaven and earth. I get to stand before Him. Well, actually, it won't, probably won't be standing. I'll be on my face. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. The difference is I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. And I cannot lose it. And if you combine the two, if you take Hebrews and you take Romans and you try to make them say the same thing, you are causing division. And that's what was going on in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. One says, I'm Cephas. Would Cephas have agreed with the doctrine of Hebrews? How about 1 and 2 Peter, the books he wrote? You think he would agree with that? How about James, Cephas, and John, who seem to be pillars? 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, James, Jude, Revelation, Hebrews, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's where I want to go next. Matthew 24. I'm almost done. And I've heard this thing preached. And... never outside of somebody preaching through the eyes of Paul and his doctrine, I've never heard this preached right. Just flipping the channels, turning the TV on, and listening to some preacher. Or ever walked into a church somewhere where they taught this outside of somebody that believed grace. Matthew 24. And if you believe grace, you would know who it come from. Amen? If you believe the grace of God, all long-suffering kind of grace, that God's not going to judge you, not the kind of grace that says I can go out and do whatever I want, but the kind of grace that says, you know what? Jesus Christ died for my sins. The love of Christ constraineth me, because I thus judge, if one died, then we're all dead. Matthew chapter 24. Let me see. Verse 38. Or verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall be, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating. Now we're talking about judgment here. they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not the until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall be two in the field, one shall be taken, the other left, judgment. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, the other left, judgment. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise servant from his Lord, hath made ruler over his house to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant to whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's judgment. That's eternal judgment. And that's a different judgment. And that's not my judgment. And that's not the judgment seat of Christ. Matthew chapter 25, and I'll be done. Man, if you can't see if this is a different judgment. I mean, he says we all shall appear at the judgment of Christ. He didn't say nothing about no sheep and goats. He didn't say anything about sheep and goats. He said all men. We all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive in our body the things we've done, whether good or bad. So, verse 31, Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon His throne, the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another. Now, come on. Just think about something. If we've stood at the judgment seat of Christ, knowing that this judgment comes after the judgment seat of Christ, God would be unjust to judge me again. I mean, He couldn't get it right the first time? You know what I'm saying? That's just silly. I mean, I live in a nation, don't I? Come on. They could, you know, you can make some kind of application, but that's, my judgment will have already passed the judgment seat of Christ. And it can't be to condemnation. Why? Jesus Christ took my condemnation. Not the moment I believed, before I was ever born, 2,000 years ago on a cross. I wasn't even there. And they say, well, you put Him on the cross. No, I didn't. God put Him on the cross. God chose to put Him on the cross for my sin. I didn't have anything to do with it. It wasn't even my choice. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well, what I got, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, brothers and sisters, was given to me before the foundation of the world. How do I know that? Hold on there. And I love the verses. They always keep saying the same thing. Speak the same thing. I always go back to Paul. Guess what? He keeps saying the same thing in his letters. It doesn't change. Now I'm talking about eternal judgment here. Titus. It'll come to me in a minute. Titus 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Matthew chapter 25. verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come blessed ye of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Is that before? That's not before. That's from. From the beginning of the foundation of the world. So from that point forward, this kingdom is prepared. What I have in Christ was given me before. Is that the same or different? Be in the same mind and in the same judgment. And don't think for a minute, well, I'm just going to make a spiritual application to Matthew for my judgment. Well, that'd be dumb. Because then you'd be applying wrath to you. Conditional wrath. Well, if I do this, Paul said, if it be of works, it's no more grace. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. By grace you save through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's a gift of God. Something God gave. Not something you're doing for God. Not something you're getting on with. Something God did before you ever even had a choice. And completed it. And then went and told you about it. And said, well, you could believe that. How about believing the gospel of your salvation? The salvation that God provided 2,000 years ago when He allowed Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. Matthew chapter 25. Prepared for you from the foundation of the world, bottom of 34. Verse 35, for I was a hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. Sounds like works to me. Paul said, by grace you say through faith and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. Well, is Matthew a man? Wrong doctrine. Let me see. Where'd I leave off? His sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but of the goats on the left. And the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. You took me in, verse 35. Naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered? When fed thee? And fed thee? Or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick? Or in prison or came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And he's talking about blessing a Jew. He's talking about a Gentile in tribulation. And if you read the context there, that 24 is, you know, about this wrath coming. 25, here we are. How does a Gentile get in? That's, if you wanted to put a correct title at the beginning of Matthew 25, it would be, how does a Gentile get into the kingdom? Would be the how does a Gentile get into the kingdom chapter? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. My brethren. If you've done it unto one of my brethren, in particular the 12 and the disciples, you've done it unto me. Then shall you say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting. You see, all those standing at the judgment seat of Christ are sealed. There ain't no one standing at the judgment seat of Christ that can be condemned. It's got to be a different judgment. And that's why I left off on Matthew 25, is because this is probably the most discernible judgment that you could look at and go, wow, this one's really different. With the goats and the sheep and the blessing, the Gentiles' blessing, because I'm a Gentile, so, you know, That'd be bad doctrine for me if, you know, I believe this and saying, calling this the grace of God. I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. When I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Not. Sick and in prison and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst or a stranger or naked or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. He's not even talking about doing this now. He's talking about doing this in tribulation. And by the way, if you've already heard the gospel of God, the Bible says, Paul says, God will send you a strong delusion that you should believe a lie, that you might be damned who receive not the love of the truth, that you might be saved, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. You'll be sent a strong delusion that you will believe a lie. Why would I believe a lie? Because God is going to make sure I believe a lie because I received not the love of the truth. But the judgment now is the judgment seat of Christ for all those who were judged at Calvary in Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, of the same mind, the same judgment. Ephesians chapter 4, he says, perfectly joined together until we come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, that we all speak the same thing. You cannot do that outside of Paul's... one more verse and I'll be done. And I know I'm going a couple minutes over, but I got to throw this in and I will shut my mouth. And I love this verse because of how powerful it is in emphasizing Paul's ministry. I was looking for the word there. I couldn't find it. 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Okay? I'm going to go to the board. Man, I clean this board and I'm going to write on it. Now, I would make an argument that there's never been a person that lived on the face of the earth that had 10,000 instructors. Paul made it such a big number that it would be almost silly for you to think that, well, he's talking about me. You know what I'm saying? It's just comical. You know, 10,000 instructors. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Was Peter an instructor? Was Jesus, while he was on this earth, an instructor? You say, well, you're walking thin ice now. Was John an instructor? How about Philip? Bartholomew? Jude, teachers, instructors, he said, though you have 10,000. For in Christ, how about 40 authors of a book? 40? Yet, did he say to go to Zechariah for your instruction? Did he say to go to Psalms? He said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And that doesn't do anything or take anything away Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine. But he said, consider what I say first. And then guess what? You'll understand why the other stuff is there and how it fits into God's plan. We don't throw away the Bible. We just discern what's for us and what isn't for us. There may be some things in there that may be applicable to our Christian walk, but there may be some things that aren't. And Paul will tell you which ones are and aren't. How do I know? Because he said so. And he said, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a preacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you really believe your Bible means exactly what it says and God is true, not the author of confusion, that would have to make sense to you. So, he says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be you followers of me. He says, who shall bring you into remembrance, and bottom of verse 17, of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. That's why it's so important that we be in the same mind, that we consider what Paul said, so that we would be in the same mind and the same judgment. And guess what we would understand? You know what? 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died for our sins. Did Peter believe that you could just trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and be sealed? No way! You only get that doctrine through Paul. You only get the teaching of eternal security through Paul. You only get the same mind and the same judgment and the same baptism and the same faith. All of that is given to bring unity to the body of Christ through Paul. Amen.